This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. So give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. And our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way each and every day, Monday through Friday, from 1:05 to 2 o'clock, right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we ask you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us right here at WKAR. Now, we'll have a full hour of open lines. You can call it anytime. Discuss anything you like right here on AM 870. And, of course, I'm going to bring up a lot of what happened over the weekend. We had a really fun-filled, nice weekend with the MSU alumni game, with the Tuskegee game, and the Tuskegee Airmen here. So it was a very special weekend for Michigan State University as they celebrated the game of change, the game that really had a big change to doing with the college basketball. So give us a call, talk sports with us right here on AM 870, WKAR East Lansing. And, just come on in and we'll be fine. We'll join you in having a little bit of fun and a little bit of reverie here on AM 870 WKAR. And I got to tell you a little secret. It's not a big secret. It's a little speak secret. But let me see. The day is the 17th of December. Coming up in January, on the 4th of January, yours truly will have been here 39 years. It'll be 39 years in January. So I just want to give you that little bit of tidbit from us right here on AM 870 WKAR. And we're going to be open line today. We have a lot of cuts from Coach Izzo. Also, we're going to hear from Denzel Valentine and from Andre Risen and others. So just stay with us and listen to some of the cuts and some of the things. And call and contribute. If you went to the alumni game And we hopefully we can have that one now. Let's see. We'll play some of these cuts we have for you coming up. We've got one coming up. That's been told on my board, Appling and Intern Memories players. That is all I have so far. So we'll play one of these first. We'll play the one with Appling and. Coach Izzo talked about how Appling, he shot a very good game. He was 7-for-9 in the Tuskegee game, and he only had 3 assists, he says, because the guys dropped a lot of passes. But this is Tom Izzo talking about Keith Appling.
I thought Appling, did some good things because he pulled up, took some short shots, took some threes, took some layups. Only had 3 assists because nobody made any shots, but 2 turnovers, not great, but not bad. And I thought, Harris and Valentine and Bird all struggled, especially Gary. He had some wide open looks early and just didn't make any. Thank God he got his free throw touchback, so I think we got something out of him. And Brandon missed a couple of those bunnies, but he had 9 rebounds and actually had a couple of hustle plays, and it's a shame that he had 6 turnovers, but I thought getting him to get on the floor and do some of those things was one of the things we were looking at, so we made a little progress there. Knicks, a lot more aggressive. And so now we got a lot of work, and we get to do a lot of work, and we get to practice, and there's no damn rules, and so we're going to practice and practice and practice.
and give us a call. We'll talk, hear more from that was Coach Tom Izzo talking about Keith Appling, and we'll talk more. We've got a cut coming up from Keith Appling as well, and we'll get to that one a little bit later on. But just give us a call, talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. You know, you can call us each and every day, talk with us, you know, just spread the word all around. Tell anyone you know you can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on WKAR. And we have some other cuts from some of the vets and some from some of here from Coach Izzo. And we have a very interesting cut that I'll play this next. It's from Denzel Valentine, and we'll do that. But right now, we just want to we see some calls coming in, which is good. It's always great to have calls. Got to tell you about those Lions. Boy, what another down game. I mean, we had two dog teams, 4-9 teams, and of course, the Lions had to make it really look bad. I mean, I don't know what you can say about them. They're out of it, of course. You know, they're not going to be in the playoffs this year. No surprise there. But we thought it would have been a little bit better. But very disappointing in the way they lost and the way they played and the way Matthew Stafford played as well. You know, he's supposedly the face of the franchise, and Jim Schwartz, I don't know if Jim Schwartz can keep his job. I mean, if he does, he'll keep it, but he'll definitely be on notice for next year. They'll be watching him very closely. Well, let's go to the phones. We've got Steve out in Belding on the line. Steve, how you doing?
Hi, Earl.
Howdy.
Well, what a great weekend at Denison Fieldhouse.
Yes, it was.
The administration did a tremendous job putting those events together. What a great opportunity to talk to some of the guys.
Yes.
I was interested in asking the 79 guys, Rick Kay, Ron Charles, Terry Donnelly, that I got to speak with. I was interested in their remembrance of the game at Wisconsin, which I was at. I don't know if it was on TV or not. And it's a game where there was about 4 or 5 seconds left. And Magic had to make 2 free throws or we were going to lose the game. And Magic made both those free throws. Wisconsin brought the ball in, and Wes Matthews made a shot from either the free throw line or the top of the key, but it was a free throw line or the top of the key at the other end of the court.
Yes, it was.
And they lost that game at the buzzer. And then the other interesting game to me that I was at was a game in Dayton against Kentucky. That Kentucky team was one of the best college teams to ever play as far as star power. And Kyle Macy kind of went nuts, and we lost by 5 points. So I was interested in asking him about that. And then David Thomas was there. David Thomas is so unfortunate to be playing behind Charlie Bell, because David Thomas is one heck of a basketball player. He was the best defensive player on the team, and he just never had the green light to be the scorer. And I asked him about the game at the McHale Center in Tucson, which I was at with some U of A buddies that I know down there. And David had to play point guard, so it was a tough game. Mateen was out with an injury. And all I remember is we lost the game, and they had some superstars on that U of A team. But I told my buddies that in the end we were going to win this thing in the tournament, and we did. And so it was fun to see David Thomas. Man, that guy can still play. Steve Smith can still play.
Yep.
And great to see Terry Donnelly back at MSU. I wondered what you and some of your other listeners thought about the weekend.
Okay. Well, first let me address that Kentucky game, because I definitely remember that one. And Magic and the guys were very upset about that game because they felt that was one of those games where Judd didn't let them run. So, you know, back in those days, coaches wanted to coach every possession and coach everything about the games, and they really didn't have to. And Magic and the players, they just wanted to run. They wanted to get out on court because they felt that they could beat Kentucky up and down the court. But Judd didn't give them that freedom. They got the freedom the next year, and so they won the national championship. But that first year under Judd, I mean, they tried to do everything that he wanted them to do, which he did, and that might have cost him that game because he didn't allow the guys to get out and run in that game. But other than that, yes, this was a great weekend. It was great for everyone. I sit next to Charlie Bell for a good portion of that evening of the Tuskegee game. Sit next to him, and he was very, very, very wonderful, and very, he hadn't seen a lot of the guys, and that a lot of them hadn't played for years. So he was very, very grateful on coming back and getting a chance to sit down with the guys and see some of the old friends. And that's one thing about college. As you know, as the pros, you create a lot of lifelong friends in college. And most of those guys, even if they hadn't met, they got a chance to meet and know each other, and they created more friends. But it's something about college basketball, the camaraderie that you have, it really makes a big difference. And the guys really were appreciative of being invited back and coming back and just shared some wonderful memories with each other and just getting out there and having a little fun playing the game. Some of them couldn't move too much, but they just had a lot of fun getting out and playing the game, which is what it's all about. The guys just getting together and bringing back some of those old memories. And of course, all those people that came for the game, I knew a lot of the people there, and a lot of those people don't get to come to Michigan State's regular games because, you've got all the corporate sponsorships and everything, and you just don't get the regular people at some of the games. But at that game, there was a lot of people there, and that was a lot of memories, because I knew about probably most of the people that were at the game. It was just a lot of fun.
Imagine you did, and what I remember from that arena was, I remember the Ohio State game, which a lot of people remember. When Magic was injured, he came out of the locker room in the second half. Nobody knew if he was coming back, and he came back. It seemed like it was somewhere in the middle of the second half. I don't remember exactly. And that was the loudest sporting event I've ever been to.
Oh, yeah, and me too. I agree with you. And it built, because some people could see him coming out when he first started coming out the locker room, and it just built and built until he finally got out and where everyone could see him, and then it was really loud.
Yeah, we they roped off the entrances into and kind of tied up traffic there when they did it, and you're reminded that they didn't have easy on and easy off the court,
right?
Like we do at the Breslin Center, and you're right. Some people could see it, and you heard this roar starting. It got louder and louder. It was amazing. All right, hey, thanks, Earl. Good talking to you.
Okay, good talking to you too, Steve. Thank you. Yes, that was a great time and some great games back then. And of course, everyone just was excited about being back in Jenison. And when you look at it, and it's amazing. When people, some of the other reporters that were there, they just couldn't understand and figure out how they were able to get 10,000 people in there. And I told them, hey, there are some of the, we used to get 12,000 in there for a while, 12,500 somehow. And then it got reduced down to 10,004. But they always were able to pack it. It was always plenty of people in a Jenison Fieldhouse. And boy, we saw a lot of good basketball there, that's for sure. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us 20 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
Where do you go for rich conversation on the topics that matter most? The radio is more responsive than the water cooler, and we take your calls. I'm Neil Conan. If you're talking about it, we're talking about it. Join us for provocative talk on the issues you really care about. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
This is Scott Pohl. Thanks for tuning in. Cloudy with a high of 40 today. Tonight, partly cloudy, and there's a slight chance of rain and snow with a low in the low 30s. Tuesday's forecast, partly sunny, a good chance of afternoon rain and a high of 39. Mostly cloudy Wednesday and a slight chance of rain with a high of 41.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. We come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. And if you've never called us before, we ask you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. So we want you to just come with us and stick with us each and every day right here on AM 870. Have a little fun with us right here this afternoon on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. And we want to talk with you. If you want to talk about Jennison Fieldhouse, some of the memories you have, you're certainly welcome to call up and tell us some of the memories you had and some of the special times you have from Jennison Fieldhouse. And, of course, it goes without saying, we all remember the popcorn and the smell of the popcorn when you first entered in there. I mean, that was special because, you know, you could smell that popcorn in Jennison Fieldhouse. And that was a great smell, you know. And if you love popcorn, you know what I'm saying. When I talk about the smell, and even Tom Izzo talked about, that's the first thing he remember when he went in there, he could smell that popcorn. And that's one of the great things, you know, that you take with you. It's a small thing, but it's something that most people would remember and say, oh, yeah, when they smelled that smell again, it's one of those things that, yeah, we all remember about how good that popcorn was and how good it used to taste. I got to tell you, I got a tub of popcorn that night. I ate the whole tub. And those are some of the things you do when you are going down memory lane. Well, let's go back to the phones. Hello, you're on the air.
Afternoon and Merry Christmas early.
Same to you.
Yeah, I got a chance to meet Gus Kanakis and Ralph Sampson at the School for the Blind when I was a student there.
Okay.
I remember Ralph, man. He had the biggest hands I think I've ever.
Yeah, he had some big ones.
Had a chance to shake in my whole entire life, man. He was tall, what, 7'2"?
No, not Ralph Sampson.
Simpson.
Oh, he's only 6'5".
I know, but he was cool. I liked him. He was a great guy.
Okay.
But as far as basketball, I think a layup is probably, I still think, one of the toughest shots to make. I used to play basketball a little bit. I played basketball for Pat Nixon one time.
Oh, okay.
Because she did some tours of schools for the blind.
Yeah.
And she picked Michigan, and I was selected to be one of the people to show her what we did for sports. So that was kind of, in fact, actually, somebody told me they saw me on the national news.
Oh, okay.
So it was kind of cool. But, what do you think about the Tigers signing Sanchez? I think they paid him too much, to be honest with you.
Well, I think they did too, but, you know, I can understand why. I mean, they wanted him and he wanted the Tigers, especially after he accepted that offer from the Cubs. Who wants to play for the Cubs? Let's be real. I mean, that's a sad franchise, and you're in for a ton of losses. So he'd rather stay with the team that's contending and play with the Tigers, which he made the smart move. But, you know, yes, they paid him too much, but they didn't have to pay him quite as much as he wanted. So, but he got his 5-year contract, and he'll be a good role player there. He'll be a third or fourth starter somewhere in there. So that helps the pitching staff a little bit more. And so they're going to have a good pitching staff. We don't know if they're going to hit as well as they should. They were very sporadic in their hitting list past year. They're going to have to pick up and be a lot more consistent this year. Hopefully they can do that with Torrey Hunter in the lineup as well.
Well, I think that helps, but like I told you, I think Detroit's biggest problem is they need more speed. They need to, like, you know, Quentin Berry, I liked him because, you know, the fact, you know, how many, what, he was a good base stealer. I mean, he got caught going from third to home, but as far as going first to second.
Yep.
But he never got caught this year, I don't think. I don't remember all those statistics, but, you know, they need more speed like that, and you know, they need to shore up the middle infield. And like I said, as far as I'm concerned, when you put together a winning team, you have to be solid up the middle, whether it be second, short, and center field, which they are in center field, but they're a little weak at second and short.
Yeah, well, they tried to improve those, so we'll just basically have to wait and see how they do. I mean, they did get some new people there, so we'll just have to wait and see how it is. But yeah, that was it was a fun thing.
Well, thank you very much for taking my call, man. It's always a pleasure talking to you, and I wish you nothing but the best. And a little early, congratulations on your anniversary.
Okay, thank you. Hey, we'll talk to you a little bit later. And, hey, we've got Bob out in Mason. Bob, how you doing?
Hi, Earl. How you doing?
Okay.
Listen, I got a Jennison memory that might connect with you, you being a little guy, and you being an old-timer to boot.
Yeah. I qualify for both.
All right. So I think I'm going to get a hit here on this memory. It goes back to a game in Jennison with Western Michigan and Manny Newsom,
mm-hmm.
being a 5'8" or so guy who lit the Spartans up for, I think, close to 48 points. And I'm pretty sure that was before they had a 3-point line.
Yeah, that would have been.
A 3-point line, yeah. He would have been 60 to 65 points for that game. Mm-hmm. Do you happen to remember that one?
I don't remember it precisely, but I remember when he played. Yeah, he was tough. He was really tough, and he was one of those tough little guys that gave everybody fits. But I don't remember that particular game, but I remember when they played Western Michigan, and that probably was the game that I saw. I just didn't remember him getting that many points, even though you're right, because he had some very good games during his Western Michigan career.
Yeah, I probably got a few years on you, so you might have still been in high school in Flint about the time he hit for, I think it was 45 or 48 points. I don't think he missed a shot the whole night. And, boy, I was just amazed that a little guy like that could put the points on the board like he did. I don't remember who won the game, but it was really quite an outstanding performance by a little guy.
Yeah, we had some outstanding performances in Jennison Fieldhouse. I mean, in Breslin Arena. There were some, I mean, not Breslin, but in Jennison Fieldhouse. We had some outstanding performances during that time. We just had a lot of really, really good ones.
Another one for me was Terry Furlow in that 50-point game.
Yep. I remember that one. I was there at that one.
And I remember a few games. I was always marveled at David Thompson, was it? Or not David Thompson, but who's that Spartan guy that could leap, but he was a guard and was a Big Ten scoring leader? And
Mike Robinson?
Mike Robinson, that's mm-hmm. the guy's name, yeah. Mm-hmm. He always amazed me. And he was the kind of guy that I think he was a Big Ten scoring leader for 1 or 2 years and never really got the press that I thought he deserved.
Yeah, they couldn't block his shot. They were all the players who played against him. He was so difficult because he shot with his hand held back and behind his head, and it was very difficult to block Mike's shot.
Yeah, he was a fun player to watch.
Yes,
sure.
He was.
Yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to share that Manny Newsom. I thought I'd get a hit with you. I guess I'm a little bit older than you are, so.
No bit.
Hey, when are you retiring? I've heard people mention that.
It'll be this spring, and I'll let you know when we get everything set and what the last day is and everything. It's going to be in the spring, probably in May. That's what I'm guessing right now. It's going to probably be in May.
All right. Well, keep us posted.
Okay, I'll do that. Okay, thank you. Yeah, okay, bye-bye. And let's see. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year.
Same to you.
What are you doing? You turning an old man on me saying you're going to retire?
Yep, I am old man.
Oh, my. I know what you're talking about. I'm 63. I just got done jogging 5 miles. I just got back.
See? I can't even jog anymore.
Well, I forced myself. I shouldn't be doing it either, but I forced myself to do 150 push-ups every day.
You should. That's good, because I hope to do that myself. When I retire, I hope to do a lot more exercise.
Yeah, I've been retired 12 years, so I'm just teasing you.
Okay.
But anyways, pray for those families, that terrible tragedy.
Yes, it was.
But God will make something good out of that yet. Yeah, you watch.
Yes, he will.
But I heard the Bullies from Ann Arbor lost 3 more of their players.
Yeah, they did. They lost 3 guys. They won't play in the ball game, and That might help Southwest. I mean, South Carolina a little bit more.
Are those guys starters? The cornerback, the linebacker, and the punter.
I know two of them were the cornerback and the linebacker. Yeah.
Oh, okay, it must be their punter too, because they said the punter.
Or one of them, yeah.
But I don't know how you think you're gonna do in your bowl game.
It's going to be a close game. I sort of like Texas Christian. They got a lot of speed, but State can hang with them. I mean, it's a game that's considered a toss-em game, so it should be a pretty exciting game.
Now, what day is that on?
That's on the 29th of December.
Night game?
Yeah, night game. It'll be kickoff. Will be at 10:15.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's going to be a late one. Yeah.
I don't know if I can stay up that late. But anyways, I'll try.
Okay.
Thank you, everybody. God bless you.
Okay, you too. There's going to be some late bowl games, that's for sure. Hey, Aaron, yeah, we've got a – I know we've talked about some of the bowl games, but that's going to be a late one, that Michigan State game. They kick off at the 29th. Is that on a Saturday or is that a Sunday, you know? You got a calendar in front of you there?
Yeah, that's actually on a Saturday. Okay. So at least it's on a Saturday.
Okay.
You know.
That's good. So a Saturday night at 10:15 kickoff, Michigan State going up against Texas Christian. Should be a good game. Hey, did you get that cut up between that was Earl and Charlie? Okay. Well, let's it's the little cut which brought back a few memories for Tom Izzo.
Believe it or not, I used to play Earl Robinson and Charlie Wilson in this gym all the time. And so that too brings back some memories, but
and he's right. He did. We played a lot of basketball in that gym in those days. Tom and I, Charlie Wilson, our other good friend, we played a lot of b-ball games up there. And, Tom sort of won most of them. He didn't win them all. He didn't win all the games, but he won, probably got his fair share of wins. I got a few of those from time to time. But, yeah, we had a lot of fun in those days. Before Tom became a big head coach and anything, this was when he was just a student coach and a student assistant, and then he got the assistant job. And I'll tell you some of the stories a little bit later on, but, one of the things that Tom and I used to always talk about, and we almost used to do that this every single day back then in the 70s, we'd both talk about what would happen to us if we ever got a chance to run our ships. And of course, Tom wanted to be a head basketball coach even then. And him and I used to talk about that all the time. So it was a lot of fun in those days, and just reminiscing about those. And of course, Tom remembers some of those names as well. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Well, let's listen to Denzel Valentine. I had a chance to sit down and talk one-on-one with Denzel. The advantage for you being a coach's son and playing in college now, or how do you look at that?
I think it's an advantage, because my dad, he's been there through all these situations. So, he just lets me know his experience and what he went through in colleges. And, I kind of build off that. And, he's taught me everything he's known. So, I know a lot of things about the game and the history. So I think it's an advantage.
Now, as you know, everything is so different today. I mean, when he was going to school and such, we didn't have all the social media and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So how have you had to adjust get along, I guess, in this new era?
It just comes along. I really don't think I had to adjust or anything. I think it's just out in front of me. I didn't live in the 80s, so I wouldn't know what he did, on his off time or, after practice and stuff. But as far as basketball, it's somewhat similar, but it's kind of different, but somewhat similar.
Now, I was talking with Derek and asking him about the chemistry on the team. How do you see the chemistry overall on the team? He talked about the chemistry and camaraderie, how that's different. Y'all gotta build on. But how do you look at it as having chemistry on the team, especially being a first year player?
I think our chemistry is really good. Everybody gets along with each other. It's no fights or anything. People push each other in practice. It's competitive. We just gotta. You're not going to play your best game, at this time of the season. I've learned that throughout my years, not even just me playing, watching teams NBA teams, college teams, they, you know, they build off, you know, throughout the year. And with this chemistry that we had, and we, if we keep building, I think we have a pretty good chance of being good. So, yeah, we have chemistry.
What's been the biggest adjustment for you going to the college game?
You know, just to settle down and, you know, just play, just let the game come to me. You know, in high school, I was bigger than everybody, and you know, sometimes I could get away with, you know, doing stuff like making a pass or, you know, bullying people when I go to the basket, or, you know, shooting a fadeaway or anything like that. But, you know, just, you know, you just got to play solid, you know, at this level and let things come to you, really.
Yes, now. When you're playing and such, how is your height still helping you as an advantage? 6'5" in college as opposed to 6'5" in high school.
Yeah, you know, 6'5" in high school. You know, it's centers in high school, 6'5". So you know, and I was like a, you know, big man. I was like the biggest, you know, all around the court. But you know, being 6'5" at a guard, the college position, you know, it gives you a height advantage. So. You know, just going to the rack. You know, I can explode over people using my length, or you know, when I'm on the top, I can, you know, back people down and kind of like Magic used to do. You know, when he used to bring the ball up the court and just use my size when I'm making those passes and stuff.
What about when you do that and you've got the height, you use your height as an advantage. Is there any disadvantage you think you see in that? You know, because you're such a good passer. I've always told everybody, you know, you've got such great court vision. Is that always good, or knowing where to pass and when to pass it, or is that something that you had to even work on even more so?
Yeah, you know, I've had to work on it, you know, because at this level, you know, people are more athletic. You know, people are bigger and they're stronger. So the same passes that I did in high school, you know, all of them will work on this level because, you know, it's just guys are just better. But, you know, it's just something that I'm going to have to get better, you know, as the games grow. And I think I'll be able to do that.
And that, of course, is Denzel Valentine talking about his game here at Michigan State. And it is getting better and it's constantly growing. But it's one of those things that you have to constantly work on. To become a better player, you have to constantly work on it. And a lot of basketball players do constantly work on their game. But a lot of them also get complacent about their game, because if they find out they do one or two things well, they'll just concentrate on doing those all the time. You know, if you're a good shooter from the corner, you do that most of the time from the corner. You constantly shoot from the corner. So it's something that guys need to work on basically all of their game, but some of them will just work on one or two things, and, you know, their game will suffer if they just get good or just a little bit better in one area. 38 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk right here on WKAR. Well, Brandon Kearney had a pretty good weekend, and Tom Izzo talked about Brandon Kearney's advance.
Hey, right now is doing everything I like. You know, the reason I didn't start Gary is he's got to, you know, we got to see if Gary can handle some adversity. I did it on purpose, if you want the truth. I didn't like the way he was playing, and to be honest with you, he had good shots, and really good shots, the first four, and he missed them, and you know, just kind of got frustrated, and so I told him that you're not going to be able to do that in the big games. And but Kearney has been almost the steadiest, the best player at playing his role, and I think some of it is I haven't, you know, defined it enough on some of those guys. But Kearney now is to the point, if he's got a spot up shot, he hits it. He's the best post passer. He gets the ball in there. He's the best at going to the offensive board. Even if he doesn't get him, he knocks him loose, and he's pretty solid defensively. So I think the whole team feels Kearney has earned that. And some of it was Gary, but Kearney has earned his minutes right now and maybe even a few more. I like what he's doing.
40 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after we take this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
Catlin Moran ventured into uncharted territory. She wrote a laugh-out-loud book about feminism and the disconnect between image and reality.
Women's existences are completely different to what they're projecting or what they're willing to talk about, and that's absolutely bizarre.
I'm Neil Conan. Catlin Moran, How to Be a Woman, one of the books we missed. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
A cloudy day with a high of 40 today. Tonight will be partly cloudy, and there's a slight chance of rain and snow with a low of 32. Partly sunny on Tuesday, a good chance of rain in the afternoon, the high tomorrow 39. Wednesday's outlook mostly cloudy with a slight chance of rain and a high of 41. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870. Well, let's go down memory lane one more time, and let's listen to the memories of Andre Rison.
Man, it was a great feeling. You know, this legendary building. I was fortunate enough to play it in high school on my way to a state title, two state titles, actually. And then
2 years here, right? You
played. Yeah, 2 years here, and then I was able to play, you know, my collegiate ball here up under Judd and Tom Izzo, the great Tom Izzo, the great Jay Heacoat. And, you know, anytime you get a chance to walk in any, you know, monumental building like this with the such greats of Magic Johnson, Sam Vincent, Jay Vincent, Ron Charles on down, Greg Kelsler, you know, and that's not even getting to our generation. You always got to tip your hat to the legends every time you set foot on this court. I think tomorrow is going to be a great game. I think the kids understand when they get a chance to walk out here and get the feeling of playing on Jenison home court of Michigan State for many years. The Breslin Center is a beautiful facility. It's something that this university deserves. But you can't forget about the old Big Z over there, you know, Big Jenison. I ran track here. So I got a lot of memories here,
And yes, he talked about a lot of memories brought back for Andre. Yes, it's been a lot of time over there in Jenison Fieldhouse, that's for sure. Hey, give us a call, Talk Sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. I think I might have messed up one of these cuts, either Dawson or Appling, one of the two. But anyway, let's listen to one more cut. It's talking about more information on Brandon Kearney.
Nah, really, it was confusing at first, but once they had did it a couple of times, you know, I kind of got a better feel for it. And, you know, so after I saw that, I just felt like it was time for me to make some things happen.
Was it, how you doing, by the way?
I'm all right. How you doing?
Good. Did you guys listen to the Commodores at all for the show, or were you in the locker room?
No, we were in the locker room getting ready for the game, getting in game.
Man. With, you know, the Jenison thing and almost as like the game was a sideshow. Was it kind of tough to find a groove really there? Or?
I mean, nah. At the end of the day, we know what we got to do to improve. You know, the Big Ten season is coming up, so we just want to keep that in the back of our mind that we have to come out on the floor and get better. You know, but I mean, it was a little distracting. You know, watching the alum play last night and
right.
the concert before our game, but.
And that was Keith Appling talking with Larry Lage from the Associated Press. Hey, give us a call. Doc Sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, you can become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. So we'd love to hear from you, and that would be nice. Well, let's see. Wouldn't Butler be a better fit for the Big Ten than Rutgers? I know Butler does have a football team, but they have an excellent basketball program. And they said, yeah, well, not really, Eugene. That really wouldn't be. You got to be. This is a football first conference you know, first and foremost. Yes, basketball is nice and basketball is good, but it's not really a basketball conference. They consider themselves a football conference. Always have considered themselves a football conference first, basketball second. And why is that? Because football brings in more revenue. If there ever comes a time where basketball brings in more revenue than football, then you can call itself a basketball conference. But as of now, no, Butler would have to get a strong football program, and very rarely will a school as small as Butler will has a chance to get in the Big Ten, because the Big Ten is definitely a football conference, and you better bring something to the table from football, that's for sure. Hey, give us a call, talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Let's go back to the phones. We've got Michael over in Saginaw. Michael, how you doing?
How you doing there, Earl? Was the Commodores, did they play all their old, of course they played all their old original
Sure.
pieces.
That's all they got. They don't have any new stuff that's that good.
Well, they got nice if they youngest one. But did they play Machine Gun, the instrumental, man? That was a good record, man.
I didn't see the whole concert. I just came in, I saw three or four of the songs at the end. Okay, yeah, it was had a little power difficulty there, but. So we'll try to get it worked out here. It's something happening here. That's the problem. When you do live radio, sometimes you have some strange things happen. And, well, we'll see. We're back now, so hopefully we're back live and won't have any feedback or anything, but we'll look at that later on, of course. Well, now I guess it's just me now. It's not me and my other cohort, the other Earl in here with me. There's just one Earl in here right now, and we'll see how this goes. So it's just the one Earl in here, and we'll chat with you and talk sports with you right here on AM 870 WKAR. So give us a call, talk sports with us, and let's see. We got. People over there looking out. I assume this is Michael coming back. Okay, Michael. Hopefully.
Hello.
I think you jinxed us, Mike.
Wow.
I think you had us a little jinx there.
Off again?
Yeah. Something's happening over there.
Hello.
No, I can hear you. Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you fine. So yeah, things do happen sometimes when you're doing live radio. Sometimes you get some strange happenings, and this was one of those days where I don't know, something happened. Okay, I guess he couldn't hear me. So I don't know if you have to reboot it or anything, but so we'll try this. Well, we got a couple more cuts here. Let's hear Coach Izzo talk about some of the players. Okay, the computer's down, so everything is down. So we'll try this again. So everything is going haywire right now. It's one of these things in live radio. Sometimes you just lose things, and boy, this is one of those times when you lose everything. And well, we'll see. We've got a few cuts. I know we talked about the Lions earlier, and we got the Pistons got a game tonight. That's it. And how about Kirk Cousins? Kirk Cousins had got his first start as a pro and won the game. So congratulations to Kirk and sitting in for RG3 and in Washington. And he played a good game and he won it. He made a few mistakes, of course, but he overcame him and came back and played quite well. So congratulations to Kirk Cousins, the backup quarterback in Washington. And he did a very good job filling in for Robert Griffin III. So that was one of those things. So we got to give Cousins our heartiest congratulations. Hopefully it continues and he gets more playing time. There is some talk he might get a lot of playing time or get one more start, and then they'll save RG3 for that last game against Philly. So that's what they're talking about right now, because they want him to be totally healthy, knees and legs and everything. They want him totally healthy. And even though he says he is, you know, a lot of times you can't trust what players say. A lot of times they'll tell you they're healthy, even though they're not healthy. They will say that for sure, and because they want to play, and that's understandable. Players will jeopardize their own safety and health because they want to play the game, and that happens quite a bit, especially in the sport of football, and it might help in the other sports. Well, let's go back to the phones, and hello, you're on the air.
Hey, Earl.
Okay, you there?
Oh, man.
I'm here. Yeah. Yep. So.
Hey, Earl.
Yep, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Hey, Earl. How you doing?
Doing good.
I'm here.
So.
Okay, then, Earl. I just want to ask you about the basketball games and everything. Did y'all use the three-point line?
Oh yes. Yeah, they did.
Did they use the three-point shot?
Yeah, Dwayne Stevens did hit a three-pointer. That was funny. Dwayne Stevens went out to the three-pointer, and he banked one in.
Okay. And how about a clock, too? How about a basketball clock?
Yeah, they used a 24-second clock. They played the game in four 15-minute quarters.
How would basketball be without a shot clock in the three-point area?
Yeah, it would be a little bit different, of course. It would be more like the college game, probably more so. But they've been using that ever since the invention of the 24-second clock. It's been a part of basketball.
One more question for you. I just want to see all those middle age men from when you started playing. When you started your radio career 39 years ago to now, does anybody look like they did when they was in college? Thank you, and thanks for the call.
Okay, thank you. Do any of us look like we looked in college? Heck no. Some people say I look okay, that I look young, but I sometimes might even debate that. But no, we hardly anybody looks like what we did when I hired in back in 74. But as long as the main thing is. Is if you're still around, that's great. As long as you're still here, that means you've been doing something right in your life. If you're still here and listening to the show and doing working or whatever you've been doing over the years. So I appreciate all the people and all the listeners that are still around who were back here when I came on the air here in 1974. So yeah, I appreciate that, and hopefully there are many of you left. And I know I run into a lot of people on the streets from time to time that say they used to listen to me back when I was doing the TCB show, the Taking Care of Business show. A lot of people do remember that back in the 70s, and that was a lot of fun. And that was how I got my start on the TCB show right here on AM 870 WKAR. So I don't know if we've got a couple of cuts left. We don't have any left. Okay. Oh, that's right. We don't have any computer or anything left. So yeah, we'll just chat a little bit near the end. See, I would have brought the vets up. That would have been a nice cut to close with. But since we don't have anything right now, but let me see if we have anything on the wire, anything that we can bring up today. Anything on the wire? Any kind of information on either a bowl game or coach or firing or hiring. I did see that the new coach at Purdue, Darryl Hazel, he's going to make twice as much money as what Danny Hope was paid. So that means if they're paying him twice as much money, they expect twice as much in results of what Danny Hope did. So the pressure is going to be on Darryl Hazel, even though he won't look at it like that. He'll just look at he's just trying to win games, trying to do his job. But Purdue is one of those places in the Big Ten. It's awfully, awfully hard to win at. It's really, really hard because they don't have the recruiting base that many of the other big 10 schools have. So it says here, yeah, new coach, new Purdue coach, Daryl Hazel, will earn at least twice the salary of his predecessor. And he had over the weekend, the board of trustees approved his hiring, and they approved all his bonuses. Former coach Danny Hope had earned a Big Ten low of $950,000. Of course, if he had a one, he would have got a big raise. I guess they're giving this raise already to Daryl Hazel, hoping that he'll do the job, because they figure he's got a lot of ties in Ohio, and he can recruit Ohio very well. So if Daryl Hazel can get a lot of good players out of Ohio, that's going to help Purdue an awfully, awfully lot. They got a lot of speed in Purdue. There is speed in that program, but the players are sort of undersized. They aren't the biggest guys. They're a little bit undersized. So if he can get some of those big Ohio kids to come to Purdue, that'll be a plus for Hazel. So we'll just have to watch and see how that Purdue situation develops. But he's going to be paid quite well. He's going to have a $2 million salary, including radio and television, plus $1 million more in bonuses. So that's very well for Daryl Hazel. And he's got to win, though. That's the thing with college sports. You got to win. It's really simple. Race isn't involved in anything like that. You just have to win, and you win a lot of games and win consistently. If you do that, you can keep a job. If you win a lot of games and win consistently, you can keep a job for as long as you want. But if you lose, in today's market, you might get 3 years if you're lucky. You get 3 years to turn the program around and to win. That's if you get lucky and able to last through 3 years, you might get that long to help turn your program around or the school's program around and try to make it a winner. But a lot of schools like Purdue, Minnesota, Illinois from time to time, they just don't have the recruiting base near their, the state of Minnesota is not a good recruiting bed, hotbed of recruits, nor is Purdue or Indiana. Indiana's not a hotbed of recruiting. They produce a few players, but not many during the year. They just get you a few, and you can't win with getting as few players as Purdue or Minnesota, those schools get. So you probably have to go to Ohio and other places. I know the former coach at Minnesota used to go to Texas all the time and used to get a lot of players out of Texas. And that was the key for his success. Sometimes you just have to go one place. And if you can establish yourself and establish a line to your school, and that can help, whether it's Ohio, Texas, or somewhere. If you can go to Florida, bring a lot of kids from Florida. But if you can get a good balance of players from a particular area, you might can do something. So I don't know, Aaron, I don't know about you. If you can recruit, I think there's a job for you, Aaron, but you got to be able to recruit, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is if you can't recruit, you're not going to be able to really doing it.
Yeah, you won't last. You won't have a job for very long. That's for sure.
I mean, that's the day and age we live in.
Yeah, it is. You're well paid. If you can win, you'll be a very well paid person. There's no doubt about that. But you got to be able to win today and win in today's climate, and you can become one of those very well paid coaches. And that's the thing. And that's one of the things. And it goes along with the territory. And if you were at a certain school where everybody wants to do good in football, we should tell you that right up front. And, even the schools that do good in basketball, they still want to go do good in football. And the schools that are good in hockey, they want to do good in football. If you're good in volleyball, they still want to be good in football. No matter what the sports your school is successful at, they still want, especially in the Big Ten country here, they want to be good in football. That's the bread and butter. That pays the bills. And so they really need that for their football program to do well. And that's what we will see from football programs all across the state here, in all these states here in Michigan, in the states here in Ohio and in Indiana, Minnesota. You really do need a good football program, and hopefully you can continue its success, and it will do well for you. So that's just one thing. You just hope it does well for you, and you keep on and being just a good, solid football program. But it does take time to develop that. And Aaron, we'll see that. We'll talk more about this tomorrow, right here on AM 870 WKAR. But yeah, football is the big challenge. But you'll be well paid for it. I always say the greatest thing in football is, if you get fired, you're gonna have a good buyout program. If I had a football job, I would want a very good, solid a buyout. So if I get fired after 2 years, and hopefully if I got fired after 2 years, there'd be 3 years left on my contract, and that would be a nice payoff. Hey, we want to thank you all for listening. Thank you all for calling, and thank you all for joining us today on Sports Talk 870. Come back and join us tomorrow for more Sports Talk. You've been listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870, WKAR East Lansing. We come your way every day, Monday through Friday, from 105 to 2 o'clock, right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, come and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870.
From NPR News.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.